Marvelous Ones here on IntianRadio.com. I'm going to declare myself the winner of the pose off.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even try.
I pointed to the empty space where Warren would be, and he's not there, so I win.
Oh, I thought, well, that's a double win, because I thought you're displaying your new choppers.
Oh, yeah, because I was so happy Warren wasn't there. Yeah, oh, I don't know if the listener can hear my voice. Well, my talk is different.
It's a nuance.
Yeah, I'm still working out on how
I'm
to
just
talk
saying that, you know, and this is not a dig. It just calling balls and strikes. Not really. Not meant to be a dig. Back half is a dig. Don't make me over-explain this.
Okay.
Where you're putting the choppers out there, and we were talking before the show that because Phil got some new choppers, some new teats, yeah. And he's saying that in regular in IRL they're normal looking, but on any photos or video, those bastards are shining bright like a diamond.
Yeah.
But still not quite as bright as seeing pictures of Warren online at the beach without a shirt on. Because, wow.
Hey, I don't know how that's legal.
He gave the sun sunburn. I don't know how that's
physically
possible. Wow. It's spread over a vast amount of, there's a lot of space. You know, they say the skin is the largest organ of the body. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So we got to dig on one.
Yeah, I guess you brought it up. I got new choppers. I got, I did what's called all-in-4. And for the last 3 months, I've been struggling with talking and eating. And for years, I've had problems with my teeth. I honestly couldn't be happier.
Oh, good for you, man.
I'm very happy with the company that did it. I debate on whether or not talking about the name. I guess.
Well, talk to them first. Maybe they'll put, you know, little sweet cheddar
in
your way.
I don't want to sound like I'm endorsing them. Here's what I'm going to say to people.
You can sleep on it.
Right? Here's what I'm going to say to people, and I'm very serious. If you have problems with your teeth, you're even considering that. I went to places I see advertised on television and YouTube, and I called them up, and they were $60,000-$80,000.
Were they the snake oil salesman too? Did they actually deliver for that money?
No, they delivered. Yeah. But the thing was, is that they were a lot of money. And I called, I don't know, 50 places.
Wow.
And of them, 2 talked about my teeth before they talked about financing. And I went with one of those 2. Originally, I was going to go with the other one, but it was actually in Las Vegas.
Hmm.
And they'd called me up and said, hey, there's this other people we'd met. Why don't you talk to them? And I talked to the people down in Florida. And when I say hotels and everything, travel, everything, I walked out for like $25,000 compared to $50,000 before anything.
Well, it's a funny thing. I'll try to bring it back a little bit, like in filmmaking. As a filmmaker, producer, director, well, more as a producer, when you're bringing resources in, line items, not to degrade people, but like whether it's a technical person, actor, whatever, if the first thing they ask is how much, keep moving.
Yeah.
It's a general rule of thumb.
There were people that wouldn't even talk to me about my teeth until they knew what my finance was approved for.
Well, you're a number. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I said to them, because they were like, well, you didn't fill out the finance paperwork. And I said, well, I don't know what it costs. I am a thrifty tightwad at times.
Well, here's the thing. I've been saving
my overtime forever.
You're thrifty, and we're both kind of independent-minded people, just to be in broad picture. So we tend to be sensitive when we're not engaged as an individual.
Yeah, but also just that I'd been saving for years for this, right? And it was like, you know, I was like, well, they're asking how much I'm going to put down. I don't even know how much this is. You know, like I was just looking for, like, give me a ballpark figure instead of me having to go read online in reviews where people are happy or sad.
It's like that meme GIF, whatever, with the chopper guys. It's like, you know, well, you know, how much does it cost? How much you got?
And that's how I felt with my teeth.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
You know, and then I started thinking to myself, well, are they going to recommend procedure? Like, that's one of the things I don't like about buying cars. I love new cars. I hate when you walk in there and the guy kind of is like, we should probably put you in this, or why don't we see what your credit is good for before we go look at cars? No, MFR, let's go look at the cars I want, and we'll talk from there. Or let's talk, all right, well, what is that car cost? Well, let me see. No. You don't know the price when I walk in the door? That means I know I'm getting screwed. And I did, or at least to me. Right?
Are you saying there's a car dealer people, salespeople are, can be put in the category of a pejorative situation? Is that what's your...
Sometimes, I'll tell you this, that guy I bought my last truck off of down outside of Richmond in like Mechanicsville, I would buy anything from him. I mean, he like walked up, he's like, bam, 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 here's the price. And I was like, okay, that's not...
No nonsense, straight to the point.
I mean, and the dude looked at me, and I looked at the other salespeople, and I heard them giving people a load of crap. He looked at me, and he turned to me, and he said, and this is why I sell 5 cars a day, and they don't. And I was like, I effing love you. Right? Like that guy's my boy from now on. I don't care.
I was waiting for boyfriend, trade
for the car.
This is interesting as like a couple of bros. However, I think we need to bring it back into
We got to get back to the sci-fi. But you brought up my teeth, so I just want to bring up. I will tell you this. Anybody who wants to message the Marvelous Ones in a comment or something, or email me at Phil and it. Oh, no, I'm having problems with my email. I will fix that. For some reason, I'm having problems with the email server. I will fix that in a couple weeks. My email is phil@ntnradio.com. But don't email me it right now.
What the hell, Phil? Don't put it out there. Like, don't be teased. You're being one of them chicks. Like,
I'm
you're
just
so
saying,
hot.
Don't email me
go
for
out
like
with you,
a week.
But don't
Let
call me.
Figure out. I just got back. Let me figure out what's going wrong with my email.
You're just gotten. I think you your head's too big to compensate for your big shiny teeth. You're full of yourself.
My ego. I don't know.
Big mouthful of teeth now.
Let's get into
which first. We got three. We got big threes.
I want to do Murderbot first.
That's a good call. It is kind of the hors d'oeuvre. It has become my hors d'oeuvre to
RA. It's definitely an hors d'oeuvre. So I want to say this.
Uh-oh.
I get emotional. Watching Murderbot going, where do I know Murderbot from? I couldn't place it.
It's called IMDb. You can.
I know. I hate doing that.
Why? Oh, you want to exercise your brain?
I want to use the brain power. So then I'm watching. I was away for a week and a half, and couple of days I just felt like crap, so I stayed in the hotel room and I watched movies.
And so, by the way, we should tell the listener singular that we had to skip last week because of that, so we might have extra timage today on this episode.
We'll probably go a little long. So anyways, I watched Godzilla Minus One, one of my favorite films of all time.
Black and white or color?
I watched it in color.
That's fine. I'm just curious.
And then I was like so pumped up for Godzilla that I started watching like the King of the Monsters movies.
Ultimate?
And I was in Godzilla v. Kong. And then it dawned on me, Murderbot is the guy that was there with the woman who's the main character. And he's the one that jump-started Kong's heart when he put the flying machine on to give him the impulse.
Shut your face.
He was like one of the main characters. And I'm like, that's where I know Murderbot from. So then I had to watch the movie again because now I got Murderbot saving Kong to help Godzilla fight Mechagodzilla. Could not be contained in one room. Just saying.
Well, then I'm disappointed. I mean, he could have helped Kong more if he used his handguns, lasers, to help protect him. And, you know, so screw him.
Yeah, all right, maybe. I can't argue about those facts. I'm just saying, I was like,
I mean, it's kind of cool. And who knows if they're good human beings or not. But I do enjoy when, like, one person gets, like, a hit, you know, they get into the world of sci-fi, all that stuff. And then that gives them traction to get other jobs in the world. So like with this guy, he's in King Kong, so he's going to get another look. Well, we got this Murderbot sci-fi.
And
boom.
And
Agent does his job.
It's wrapped up. We missed talking about the penultimate episode. I had to put that in there.
Pendulums.
And we have the last episode. Here's my question.
For
me, it's a definite yes. You think it's going to be renewed? I hope so. For season 2.
It's right on the line. where it's not a super slam dunk where, yeah, we're going to, you know how like some series, they haven't even begun the series or that season, episode season four, season two, season eight. It's already been renewed for the next one because it's so spectacular.
Yeah, it's not.
It's right on the line. I don't think it crossed that threshold. So it is susceptible to budget cuts, yeah. Writer's strikes, things like that.
I have the same nervous energy for that as I did Resident Alien season one, where I loved it. It was getting
Resident Alien, that's a different grade,
my friend. It was getting no coverage. Traction. It was getting like no reviews. Everybody was kind of ignoring it and stuff like that. And it was like, oh.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying with Murderbot. It's on Paramount, right? And then Hulu / this.
Yeah.
So I don't there's know all kinds of factors.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even that. Like, you know, not just again, pinhole into the world. I've had filmmaker friends. They've got greenlit. They got deals with Paramount. Then, oops, new president. Yeah. And they hate the project, and it's just that simple. And you don't know over time. So it's got. I mean, it's again. It's a for RA fanboys like us. It's the perfect hors d'oeuvre.
It is. I actually watch it right before RA.
Every week. Okay, here's old people talk. This is like, you know, Love Boat to Fantasy Island situation, or you know, Night Court to whatever on Cosby
Show. Yeah, you know, and like I
feel Thursday night
like
lineup
next week.
I gotta be a kid. It's like Dukes of Hazzard into Incredible Hulk. Boom.
But
CBS
next week. I'm like, oh my god, what am I gonna watch before RA? But luckily, two shows we watch are coming back.
What?
Star Trek, I believe Star Trek Strange New World starts this week, Thursday.
Nurse Chapel.
I'm
so smitten. It's Austin Nurse Chapel is my holographic fantasy.
And then in like
multiverse.
2 weeks, in like 2 weeks, is Wednesday 2 coming out?
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's, I think that's like a week or two.
Yeah.
So
they're already advertising it.
Stuff. I probably have to not watch Strange New Worlds right before RA. But anyways, let's get into the episodes. The penultimate episode, the second to last episode, Murderbot comes up with this idea, changes the plan on thing, goes to do the sacrifice.
Yeah, he's lying. He lies to them about it.
Right? He lies.
This is where it like parallels you know, the narrative style of RA. He's like, well, no, that's not the truth, because if I told you that, you know, and that's all but Harry going, well, I have the plan. I have no plan at all.
Yeah, right, exactly. So he lies, he changes it, and he goes to make the sacrifice play.
Yeah, the hero journey, right?
The hero move, right? Like in Sanctuary Moon. No, but
see, I did laugh when they spoiler. I'll jump to the final and finale. It's like they brought him back to life after he'd been like C-3PO wiped. He's like, the first thing he says, episodes 523 through 97 are missing. I mean, out of the gigabytes of every night.
I thought in the episode before that, when he was trying to say like this influential stuff to the bad people, the people who were trying to kill them.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the one guy's like, wait, that's the Sanctuary Moon. Oh my God. It's moments.
It's just like, again, it's just like the little brother, little sister of RA, yeah, who's nowhere near as awesome, but it's like a nice little Robin, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice little push to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And I think that, to me, the show deserves a second season.
And you're leapfrogging the finales where it's like weird. They got emotional on it. It wasn't super action. Yeah. It was just like, you know, it's like it's almost forced. I was on the edge of going, I don't know if I like this word that, you know, but I appreciated that's good storytelling, the arc where the doctor from episode one hated Specs' guts, so to speak. But the end when he's got like, I have to walk the perimeter. He's like, well, he's like, I have to walk the perimeter. And I didn't quite get it at first, but he was saying goodbye. I can't.
Yeah.
And then but the doctor who hated him had an emotional connection and was like, oh, shoot,
even Garath, the guy with the plug-in.
That's what I'm saying. Garath. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because later at the end, then, you know, the the main lady, Mensa. Madam. Yeah, she got it. It's like, then she had that little smile that, like, I, you know, because it was
become a sentient being.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they welcomed him into their circle. We're gonna take care of you. We did it. Did you a solid? We saved you. And then paperwork. You're my. I've just basically adopted you. You're under my care. You're good. I just adopted you from the freaking rescue shelter, little puppy dog.
Yeah.
And he goes, I gotta go on my own. And like, she's like,
why,
yeah.
Why wasn't, like you said, wasn't action packed like a lot of the episodes have been?
It was good.
It was good. It was a different kind of good.
It's a different flow from the regular.
Yeah, and
right.
To me, the whole episode, well, not the whole episode, but the end, and I mean, we've just seen this, so the reference was kind of fresh in my head. It was kind of like when Bruce Banner leaves at the end of a Hulk episode. I mean, David Banner leaves.
Not too big a stretch, but
not as emotional, but like after seeing that with
there's a bit of loneliness in there.
Yeah,
there's
the lonely journey and the go out there and
lonely,
you know,
scholar.
Because it wasn't like yay, I'm free. It was more like,
oh,
what am
solemn.
I going to do?
Yeah,
it was solemn.
It was a slow walk.
And I thought it was a good finish for that.
Didn't expect it, but it was good.
Yeah.
I remember thinking production value at the same time when he's walking through the mall or whatever airport. That's money. That cost a lot of money. There were a lot of extras, and that was a big set. Even if it was green screened a lot. That was. I would say that's upwards of Star Wars caliber when you walk through that, you know.
Okay, I didn't
mall.
Realize it would be that much, but yeah.
But you know, just like you, just, you know, when
production.
They're through, it was like Coruscant. That could almost be Coruscant value there, but yeah. So it would be nice, but I wonder. It seems a little predictable if there is a season two. It's like, oh no, the group's in trouble. He's got to stop whatever he's doing. He's going to be like,
are they going to find him a new group?
I don't think so. There's so many. Remember, there's so many half stars. Exactly. Yeah, you cut me to the quick. Exactly. And then I kind of have a fondness for the other ones. Not a lot, but they've established that. I don't think they would stray. The one Mensa, she's solid in her role. I believe her as a leader. So, and see, it was not. I think we've turned a corner. At least Fernando has turned a corner. His head, where I don't have all shields up from the wokey woke. If it's a woman of color with lady parts, okay, did they just put her in to check off the boxes? I don't care that I just, as I say that, she's a good actress and plays. I didn't even think female, woman of color. None of that.
Either.
It was zero, zero. It's just like, wow, that she nails the part.
Honestly, I didn't even really get the woke feel.
They didn't
from
come
the
off.
Show.
Yeah, 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 exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
I think we're turning a corner.
Which, you know, it's like, I don't watch TV to be preached at.
No, I went into like a nerd shop in the mall just yesterday where they sell like the Spider-Man shirts and the Funko thing, all that. And I had time to burn. I was waiting for something. So I literally, the store was empty. It was like the midday, early afternoon. I talked to the two young ladies behind the register and we just nerded out for almost an hour talking to Spider-Man. We'll get to it. Superman just came out, all this stuff. And yeah, that came up because they are definitely Gen Zers. And it came up. Sorry, I'm trying to get to is I don't talk about Final Four basketball at church, and I don't talk about Jesus while watching the game. Just, you know, there's escapism to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
exactly.
Arguing both sides. Don't the guardrails. Don't mix them. So anyway, that's my rant. That's my rant.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's get into. Do you? I think
we're done with
RA. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully
RA then
be a
Superman.
Season two. If we hear anything, I will make an announcement. I think we do RA and then we'll do Superman.
It feels right. Usually RA is premier supreme, but it just feels right that sequence.
Yeah, because Superman's the big talk and there's just a lot of things going on with it.
Yeah.
And
okay.
stuff. And I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that. All right.
Done and done.
RA. 2 weeks of RA.
You want to go or you go.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
I'm having trouble from the past week that we skipped over trying to remember all the details because I really enjoyed the latest episode of RA where, you know how you actually do it. I've done it once where I've watched an episode twice. I was like, oh, it was so great. Done that once before. I did it again with this most current episode because there's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
There's a lot. And it was still funny. it was it, they still had some one liners when Harry's like, this baby is pissed. it just put it on it because we're used to crying babes, but I've never thought of it like this is a really angry baby. So anything from that, and we can delve deeper into it. I'm just going to hit the highlights off that I can remember that. And like, it got real with Darcy. I didn't see that getting. Darcy was like the Rock. She had her poop together. She has always got her stuff. And I didn't buy it. It's like, what's wrong with? Why is she acting all weird, you know, as a character? And she was in crisis mode. She was actually having trouble. And the beauty of how she, you know, went to Harry, when it was reversed before, where Harry's the one who opened up. It's like, I don't like being vulnerable. I need my aliens. I don't like being human. I've never, like, oh, okay. You kind of, you know, that kind of felt that. Then with Darcy, I didn't quite feel it, but the way it was written and executed is like, oh. And then she did just that dynamic that she went to Harry, where he's in this crossroads of human, where he doesn't have a soul and sentimentality or emotions. He's gaining that now, where she's, and then he's understanding that. And that is elegant writing. But at the same time, steals the show again is Judy, where she's like, no combination. Your favorite, Judy and the Asian nurse, because I gave her the baby candy. Baby candy between, I mean, just whoever writes this stuff, I don't know if it's one person or a group, between Lady Pocket and baby candy, because I haven't heard that anywhere, like, is, you know, pop culture references. So that, and we can do all the stuff, but again, whoever does this, they have a consultant who is in there. They understand the tribal aspect of the Indians in that region. They know that's deep. Those are deep pulls. So when they do the whole the connection between the universe and nature, and now, and then the fact that Harry's transitioning into more of a human, like, and it actually plays into the plot of, like, he makes that sacrifice at the end, and then very, very subtly, where they put mayor wife and deputy put the mint in the tree. A little corny, a little campy, but then she's like, yeah, the only thing they'll make me believe in miracles is if I have my baby in front of me. And he goes, like, oh, and she's like, oh, you do the wish because I put a candy in 3 days or whatever. Maybe a squirrel ate it. Right. So very, very so simple. But at the end, she gets her baby. And like, it's just coincidence. The stars aligned a little bit. But then for me, I gave it a couple beats into the credits. Like, wait, was there not a hard period, definitely, but like, was there a connection between her doing the spirit fairy tree?
Yeah, mint? Right. Like,
there's a I mean, because it's again beautifully written and envisioned, where it absolutely is nothing. And it was, forgive me, I'm getting off here, but the psychology behind it was valid. It wasn't Disney, you know, you make a wish and the Jiminy Cricket, you're sorry. Right. It was like, we know it's not going to make a difference at all, but it gives you something to do.
Gives you hope.
But then again, and I'll finish with that, it's like, wait, did it actually twerk the universe? And the universe just sort of gave it a little wink and then gave her wish, like, whoa. But it was so subtle, and then along with that final note, that's why I enjoy shows like this, and the reason I incredibly dislike anime: don't effing explain every little thing. That's what drives me nuts. The animation is great. You are tired. There, you are tired from fighting my monster G for 2 hours. Now is my time to strike you. You don't have to. It's like watching Godzilla when he's rampaging on something that had been kicking his ass for like an hour. Now he's got the super, and then he more than kills it. He like roasts it after. Like, you don't have to explain to me that he's angry. And this is his personality. I get it. Or I can figure it out. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so many
the previous episode was Harry trying to reconnect with Bridget, you know, because he's,
and they brought the actress back, the human
teenage
actress back.
Girl, right? And stuff like that. And, you know, he gets embarrassed by her friends. He's this, that, and the other thing. Asta sends her father away on a tour. We finally see Dan. We haven't seen Dan in
all season. I have a theory with that. I haven't looked it up. Almost don't want to. I have a feeling like in real life, I think he might be sick or something.
Yeah, so he kind of looked like maybe
he looked frail, lost a lot of weight, and this is to my recollection, this is out of six episodes, he's only been in one where he was predominant in all the others. Yeah. So
I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
But Darcy took over the responsibilities, you know, and like to me that was also like a big thing too. Is everybody was like, oh yeah, I can do that. Yeah, it's a lot harder than you think, and stuff like that. And, you know, and then giving Darcy the money to put in the bank, which he just knew was going to be a problem, right? Like it was a foreshadowing thing.
And again, the comic relief. Homage
to like the Hangover movies where they're like retracing their steps.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I just kind of enjoyed that.
But every scene is money, man. It's like even when they went to the sheriff's office, like we either hemming and hawing, and then Big Black just calls it out, and they both call. They just so basically, you guys got drunk. you know? Like it made me appreciate. Again, it's not cookie cutter. This is really good, rich writing.
Yeah.
So
and so I just enjoyed that. I mean, the nurse scene was phenomenal.
And you the know, play between like, Judy and the nurse. She just
was popping. She took all the baby candy or whatever it was. Oh,
like,
my God.
Oh, so like, okay, you got pictures. Like, ooh, they got my good boob.
Yeah.
Funny, I got to say, the little 12-year-old is like, I want to see.
show. But just good writing in that Judy was there for Darcy to go searching and stuff like that, and it just in general.
And then they again, just imagine this as a white sheet of paper, metaphorically, where Darcy just that pushes her further in crisis. Where Asa calls my BS, she knows, like she doesn't catch that. She was already in crisis. That'll take the last pillar off, man.
Yeah, that was a heart wrenching episode. You know, like it was like. Was like wow.
They were trying. It didn't quite heart wrench me, but I totally appreciate the attempt. It was solid and solid.
And then Harry realizing he has a soul, the powwow, like you said. I mean, they kind the old lady at the powwow next to him was kind of
she was violent.
she was kind of funny. I thought the line where Asta's cousin was like, now that you tell me he's an alien.
He's all coming together. Yeah. And I'll tell you, as a filmmaker guy, I appreciate all the stuff. It's very subtle things where like, oh, her face is kind of dark. Then they have a wider two shot. Oh, because the light source is here. So I appreciate those nuances. And at the same time, if you notice, there's a different style of shooting when they're in the gym during the powwow dances.
Yeah.
It's a totally different style. Different style. And again, they're just such great actors. I believe every one of them is who they are. There's no question. I don't see acting at all. But yeah, then you see the transition of Harry and then, it's like, I was going to say
the housing council.
I know they made it so benign. It wasn't like the, you know, the majestic, glamorous exploit. Yeah, it was like, it's the housing council. It's like your HOA or something.
But they've got to run like one too. Oh, you're my buddy. You're my brother-in-law.
And they still, again, they get with everything we just made. I mentioned, I'm talking a lot, but, they still have the Mel Brooks slapstick. He's like,
yeah.
Make note to the court. He is pointing at his penis. No. It's like, where? I've not seen this a mile.
The penis is in the heart.
And then,
the truest statement ever on that show.
And again, they go to a wide shot where he's frustrated and in a comedic platform. He's frustrated and he's like, no, he's just, that shows his full body language. Go, no, you don't understand what's going on here. And I was curious. They did a good job. Like, who's this figure who's going to intimidate Harry in that kind of way? You know, if you thought hard enough, yeah, probably is dead. And then there was, because it was an alien figure like him. And, you know, he's going to be a dick. You know, he's just going to be
just
like,
tell.
He's like original Harry on steroids, basically. Yeah. So, what are you doing? What are you looking up? No.
I forgot to pause the music because we're going to go a little long. I just started hearing it in my headphones, so I wanted to pause.
Good call. Good.
On we top haven't of even called talked about Superman, but
oh,
Resident
yeah.
Alien. I mean, we got some more episodes.
This, this is like maybe, well, I'm, what made me happy too, again, being a nerd, is like, oh, this is only episode 6. There's more.
Yeah.
And this was really,
I'm so glad that wasn't a cliffhanger for the season.
It could have been, though. That's the thing. It could have been.
It was that good of a show.
It was. And then full arc of the story too, our little world. I was not happy with episode 1 because it was okay, which made it the worst ever. I said that day 1.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was okay. Like, it probably would have been great for another show, but it was like, this wasn't an alien.
This,
and now it's like, they just cranked off the chart show.
Yeah. It's beyond catching their groove or their flow.
Yeah.
I will say though, Asta's, I mean, this is like really nitpicking. Asta's character is kind of flat this season. I'm not getting a lot of emotional tugs with her.
I think.
Which is fine.
I think Asta's, I don't know. I mean, this is just like where I think
we're getting into splitting hairs, I think, but
no, well, I think it's a character arc where she's like frustrated and confused.
Like, I can help her, Phil, with all of those.
With Harry, and then like, because at times early in other seasons, we thought Harry and Asta were going to hook up, and now she's like, no, you're just my, she's,
I think they still can. I think in the finale, they're making babies.
Yeah.
They're making
But I'm just octopus saying, babies. Like, she's kind of friend zoning him, but I don't think she wants to friend zone.
You're better at this than I am. I am oblivious to relationships. Yeah. So
anyways, that's just what I think. I think she thinks the right thing is to friend zone him. And the change you see in her character is trying to figure out what the right thing actually is.
Because I don't even know if her headspace is her relationship. They know they love each other, obviously. But she's like playing the straight man a lot now.
Yeah.
Opposed to like one of my favorite scenes or moments, I think. It must be because it still highlights way back when they're in the gallery. When Harry was in crisis mode and all he did was like, Asta! And she just went into action mode. There were no words. Yeah. Like my best friend at BFF is in trouble. I just, there's no exchange. It's just, yeah. I'm there for you.
But I also think that wears on you. And I think that's what we see in the character.
I mean, you're going deep, man. You're talking about what the writers are thinking. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Deep, right? Like, yeah. We're always like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Now I kind of I don't want to say I look for the stuff I don't see coming, but now I don't think the writing staff is going to allow her to be flat unless there's a reason.
I agree. You give them that credit.
I give them that
segue,
credit.
That could be a segue into Superman, but it really, again, on so many levels, obviously I'm totally going off on this, our show or this episode here, where remember my whole platform with all the stuff we do, make it about ordinary human, whatever souls in extraordinary situations. This doesn't have to be in patients or even aliens. These are people with real problems.
Yeah.
They just had this absurdity, enveloped around it.
Of the alien.
Yeah. It's just, it's an alien problem. But like, I tell people all the time, Darcy, man, it's like, I used to be a champion. I'm a loser. What am I doing? You know, why do I say now I even lost my best friend, the only real anchor I had in, a nurse and Judy funny what did you do to me? Is there another show like this besides MASH that's been ever created like the emotional real and comedy at the same time?
I don't know. I always tell people when I tell them, people ask me like, oh, what do you watch or something like that, I'm like, Resident Alien's best show on television maybe ever.
Accurate.
They say, well, I'm not into sci-fi. And I'm like, yeah, I've turned people onto this show who aren't into sci-fi that love it. I said, if it was just a sci-fi show, it's the best sci-fi show I've seen. If it was a drama, it's literally the best drama I've seen in a long time. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well,
that I
again,
would say that when they go to tug at the heartstrings, it works. I said, and if it was a comedy, I was like, it rates up there with greats. Lucille Ball, Three Stooges.
I keep bringing up Mel Brooks. That's hard comedy.
It is arguably the best sci-fi show I've ever seen. It's arguably top 5 in comedy shows, if not number 1. And when I say top 5, I'm saying
I was like,
I'd
maybe
really
three?
Have to think if anybody's ahead of it.
Correct.
And if you go drama, now I don't watch a ton of drama. It's not my thing. But this tugs at everybody. And I'd say it's probably in the top five dramas, which means
keep
it's
it
a
real.
1, 2, yeah. 5, maybe.
It is a quintessential
show ever.
And it breaks that rule. You're not in the film world, you're not supposed to mesh more than two genres together.
Yeah.
It sometimes it works. Like Ghostbusters, you got horror, you got comedy, you got
action,
all that. You're not supposed to do that, but they made it work on the rare occasion. Again, this is just like similarity. I mean, it's so great. I'm going to say it's similar to MASH, and they even do homage to MASH. The fact that they follow the same kind of vibes of mixing and matching and elegantly putting.
Yeah.
I mean, so elegant. That's probably the reason I watched it a second time. Maybe subconsciously to appreciate the fact that you have such vastly different storylines going on. Again, this is art. This is a masterclass on making a show because between Harry wanting connectiveness and then Darcy going through her thing and then the space aliens and the baby, like, and then the fairy tale tree. And then, whoa, these are vastly different storylines, but they all connect.
And they connect
and the story's about connecting. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's again, that this is a masterclass on how a show can be done.
Yeah.
Masterclass.
Yeah. I can't think of any show I've ever watched that I felt did all three of those to a point where I thought it was just.
Oh, it's a pyramid. They all meet at one time. The two, three separate facades meet at one point.
Yeah,
I'm getting a little out there, but the only rule this again, and I don't know why I'm such filmmaker mode. The only rule that they break that isn't like the blueprint of a good production, TV or movie, is they don't have a giant star. Somehow, as a cameo, a third figure, like, you know, even in Star Wars, they had Alec Guinness. They need to bring some star power, as a really good example. But this one doesn't have anybody. They've had some traction here or there, but like freaking. What's her real name? Asta's real name. I forgot all of a sudden.
I don't remember.
But between Asta, Darcy, even Judy, like and Big Black, where the hell did these actors come from? These are solid artists. And boo, I mean, I'm to the point where like I appreciate the mayor now, the actor. He's good. He played kind of the doofus
and even the kid. How about the kid?
I don't like the kid anymore.
I don't either, but how about how he handled them questioning him?
No, reverse anime. You didn't have to explain where he's like, well, he's actually, you knew what he's thinking. He didn't lie to his parents because he's a human now, so he can tell them that he's not
right, but
an alien.
Just that he covered for Harry and, you know, and like.
But here's the reason I viscerally and gut went, I don't like him anymore. He looked like not even a grown up, but like a late 30-year-old on a couple of shots. For me,
I don't know if he looked like that, but he definitely looked like he should be
late 20s or something like that. He looked like an adult. He's so far away from the kid who drew the hairy alien.
Who plays? I know you are, but what am I?
so I didn't like you were trying to explain that a little bit, but I didn't like the distancing that they do, like between even Harry and Asta, they don't seem as tight ish. But yeah, between the kid, I thought that was like, you know, he saved his life. They saved each other. He went back for him. And that was that season one or two, you know, he saved his life and he begrudgingly did it, but the connection kept growing. And he goes like, there's that point where like, you like me, you're my friend. And like, I am not your friend. I think you are gross or, you know, like again, a 12-year-old spat, but yeah, I missed that connection. Anyway, again, splint here. Let's segue the
show of Superman.
Yeah, the whole I forgot there was a segue earlier, but we're still too deep into RA. The jump to Superman. You go. I have my thoughts on Big Blue.
Well, I'm kind of interested in yours, but my thoughts are I didn't see the woke that everybody was talking about.
I didn't either. Honestly,
I didn't see that at all. But I also didn't see a good movie.
Could I? My one quote, then please proceed. Is as I walked out, I didn't hate it. But I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. I'll be honest with you. I didn't like it at all. I saw nothing. And then I came home and I saw something. It's like big news after Superman's opening weekend. And I looked and they're like,
that's
they're gung ho. And all
drop.
I kept thinking was something you said. And I'm kind of mad at you.
Yeah.
All I kept thinking was, how was that made by the same guy who made me feel
Oh,
emotions Woo, about a raccoon.
A CGI raccoon.
How did the same person make those movies? This was terrible. It was so bad.
See, how come I don't hear? I see here bits and pieces, but I don't see your comment prevalent. That's what
I know,
curious.
And I don't understand. I don't know whether it's people want superheroes to be assholes, and that everybody thinks that, you know, anybody with power is an asshole because the Green Lantern was an asshole, Hawkgirl was an asshole, Mr. Terrific was an asshole.
Oh, Lex Luthor.
Lois Lane was an asshole. I was rooting for Lex, and I hate the character of Lex Luger. Luthor. I'm sorry, Lex Luthor. Lex Luger was a wrestler. I hated him too. But anyways, like, I didn't feel any connection. At no point was I like, God, I want Superman to whoop this guy's butt. I was kind of like, yeah, I don't really care what happens. I failed to see the point in a lot of it. I think they jumped the storyline all over trying to touch too many bases. It was hard to watch.
It would have been fine for like a Saturday matinee on TV, kind of. If you're a kid, you have time to burn on
I
summer.
Literally feel like James Gunn was like, I'm going to put out Superman, so let me go find the CW writers and have them give me a
show. Wow, you pulled the CW card on it.
It was crap, except for it wasn't even as campy as that.
Here, I mean, you're like struggling a little bit because you're frustrated in the degree of awesomeness. Here's a statement
I
got.
I haven't been. I'm going to wrap it up in one.
No, go, phrase. Go.
I haven't been that disappointed in a superhero movie since that remake of the Fantastic Four, like around 2015.
Which my Peter Tingles were off the charts. I was never going to touch one frame of that.
That's where I put this Superman in line with.
I wouldn't put it that bad, but it's in the neighborhood. It's down the block. The first person I've only talked, it was actually just the two employees at the, I forgot the name, I should remember, it's like Box something. It's along the lines of Spencer's and Hot Topic.
Okay.
They're actually a sister partner with Hot Topic, I think.
Okay.
Point being, it's one of those, you know, the backpacks and the Funko dolls and all that stuff. Anyway, because it was the middle of the day, no customers, but we chatted. Besides them, I talked to the only other person I talked to is my buddy actually brought up. He messaged me. He just said, Superman's horrible. That's all I said. So we got in a minor back and forth, really.
Yeah.
The statement that came out that for me epitomized it. He's like, there's nothing super about him. Period. I was like, they boom. I mean, I can go on. Definitely. I have layers here, but like, yeah, that's what's, I mean, what do you do with an omnipotent character? That's why the first one, in my opinion, Christopher Reeve was so incredible, because he's everything. He's got all the powers. He can fly, blah, blah, on and on and on. He's got the character, and he had the Midwest, if you call that, upbringing, and he had the solid morals and values, and he's actually a good human being, and he has natural Captain America leadership, on and on and on. I'm losing myself here. Crap, I totally lost my place. F. I don't know. I'll default back to it became a guy with powers. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I got it. It was, what do you do with a character who is omnipotent like that? Remember the struggle that, I love this. The warrior's struggle is within, not without. Yeah. Superman is the epitome. He's got every single freaking awesome power that imaginable. His drama is internal. When he had to come to the point where, the love of his life just perished because he had to make a choice, because he made a promise to go East Coast, not West Coast. And in making that choice, the love of his life died because of that choice. But he had the power to reverse that. And he's struggling between his dad, his birth dad goes, bio dad goes, you can't do that. That's against our laws. But then you got his earth dad going, you know, you're put on here. And just so that his struggle, it wasn't lifting up a building, is like, do I break the rules that I have sworn myself?
Right.
That's
Superman.
That's mythology. That's hardcore. It's not, you know, again, Batman works as the brooding hero. Not everybody has to be brooding. That's why I kind of didn't like the Harry, the Schneiderverse. He is the Captain America.
I mean, because Captain America to me is Superman without the powers.
Right, you know,
they
right.
just okay, had that. All the stuff I said, natural leadership. He's that hard character, integrity person, does what he says what he does. And this guy was, you know, it was like a guy playing Superman. And
yeah, I didn't believe him as Superman.
There's just something, again, I really love the eloquent statement. There was nothing super about him.
No,
you know, there wasn't. I like Mr. Terrific out of all of them, maybe a little bit more if I had to pick one. It was just like, yeah, but and they went a little dark where they shot the cab driver or the regular New York City or planet. Which, I can't even remember. Metropolis citizens, like, oh, okay, that. But yeah, no, all the emotional tones for me were flat.
Yeah.
Flat as a
no
desert.
No emotions.
The
no.
big one, and then finally, if I get the final one, the one between him and Lois, zero emotion, zero connection. And then please go.
Okay. So here's what I expect in a superhero movie, right? A right hook of justice.
A moment.
Right. And I don't mean like literally the right hook.
No, a moment.
But
like
a moment.
Where you don't even need the musical cues, it just goes silent. Like
it's
oh,
just
it's on.
Like you, like
on.
Avengers when Hulk turned and when Banner turned and he said that's my secret, I'm always angry, and he hits that
Boom.
Thing, you're like, oh shit, we're in this, right?
But not
Justice
even when he hits
League,
him,
not the Snyderverse one, the other one in Justice League when Superman when the guy's winning against all the other guys in the Justice League and Superman, and all of a sudden the guy's like, you don't believe in truth. And Superman goes, I believe in truth. You were like, oh shit, business just picked up.
It's
like watching wrestling, right? Like you hear the pop.
Business just picked up.
Right? Like you hear the pop. Like when your hero's getting beaten down in the ring and there's five guys on him and all of a sudden somebody else's music and here comes in another star to save him, the crowd goes wild. That's what I expect at some point in a superhero movie. The pop. The right hook of justice. Give it
specifically,
to
and you're totally, I'm all on board, but specifically with Superman, you reminded me that one right. moment, the team is getting their asses handed to him, and he's
right?
here.
And then they changed that in the Snyderverse, right?
What, is this guy bothering you? Not impressed.
That was Snyderverse, right? When they were fighting the dude the first time where Wonder Woman.
It wasn't the Snyderverse. It was the other guy. Because remember, Snyder remade it and went all dark. The first one had all the bright colors.
I'm just remembering that moment. They were losing to the one.
Yeah, they were losing.
It wasn't even the bad.
And super,
side.
All of a sudden, the guy's like, you can't handle the Steppenwolf's like, you can't handle the truth. You don't believe the truth or whatever. And Superman goes, I believe in truth. And you were like,
It's
all. And he turns around and he goes, in a little thing called justice, and bam, it was like, yes!
That's when you don't need the music, the lights go down.
No.
There was zero of that in the latest version.
None.
There was
matter of fact, it was almost anti that. Like, when the Green Lantern first showed up, I get it, guy, whatever, is supposed to be a jerk. He's not even watchable.
I wanted to like it when they went into the foreign country and he made the Green Lantern, you know, give him the finger to. It's like, and if this is a really great movie, that would have been fun.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was like, eh.
And in the fall through, I'm worried about what's going to happen with the rest of Gunn's DC universe.
Yeah, if this is like their pride
this sample,
and joy,
yeah,
this could be terrible.
Yeah, and again, this is the first swing and a miss. I love his animations, obviously, like Guardians and on. This was a swing and a miss. And from the feeds I see, it was almost kind of like Snow Oak, like Variety Magazine. Oh, it's the best. Disney is like, that's number one. I'm like, what movie did you watch? It's like the they're trying to market or promote it. And the toys, get the first thing.
Well,
I was
they
excited
hate it
for
because
this,
people came out and called it woke. I'm going to be honest with you.
I didn't see the woke. Not in any measurable.
What I saw was emo.
Yeah, that's closer.
Easily. Closer, I saw emo. And
I wanted to like it when they started going up the Justice League, the building. It's like, oh. I don't see CGI.
Gang?
I mean, that was all for the punchline. But I'm just saying the actual edifice, the building.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's CGI, but I don't think they've done one yet. It's always been the cartoon, the opening, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was
I would have been
I
all
saw
in.
The building and I was like, all right, maybe it's going to get better. And then they went inside. There was no round table.
Oh, by the way, was it you who did it? Did you did the read the deep pull hawk girl? Do you know where she's from?
No, I don't.
The girlfriend in This Is the Blast of Best of Us. Yeah, she's cute in that. I thought she's very attractive.
She,
I mean, that doesn't
cute.
Really affect this.
Hawk girl was not bad looking. She was easy on the eyes.
Yeah, but then again, but see again,
lousy character.
Gen X, the super friends are their friends. They are good character people. That's why they have the powers. That's why they're the elite
on this
team. And you know, when she's carrying up the hot girl's carrying the president, it's like, oh, you're gonna take me. It's like, oh, that's I'm not him. I'm not Superman. And then lets him go, and he dies. Plummets. So it's like, that's not a hero.
That's right. Yeah,
That's
not a hero. You know what else? It's crap. You just had me thinking. Okay. I also hated the fact that the superheroes are owned by a corporation. Brought to you by so and so. This isn't Homelander and the Boys.
This isn't the Boys, yeah.
Right?
They tried to maybe, you know, bring it
capitalize on that? I don't know. I mean, they used some of the same scenes where like Homelander tried to burn out somebody's eyes. You know what I mean?
For some reason, why can't we just have good people?
Right.
Superheroes are good people. Superman,
yeah.
Like he's going, "Oh, come on, guys. No. Bleep me out, you're motherfucking Superman." You don't try to get on their good side.
Good.
Yeah, you don't
no,
try to get their
good
side.
Or me and you were having a talk.
Or I just show it. I'm going to show you how. Oh, you didn't do that. You didn't save this guy, or did I'm going to because I'm such a badass. I'm going to do your job to you while I'm doing my job because I have the super speed and
like,
the cold
there
breath.
Wasn't
and,
even
yeah.
in Justice League, the first one, 2017, not the crappy remake by Snyder, where. They're fighting, and Superman's like, wait, civilians. And he takes off, and you see Flash pushing that pickup truck with the 3-4 people.
Oh, that's
it.
My favorite scene.
Right?
I was
and then
yesterday.
Superman's flying by with a whole building. It's
that
like,
was fun. You know?
It was fun, but it was
combination.
Also showing you who he was as a person. Not, their hand, like the monster out destroying the city while he's talking to Lois. Oh, they're handling it.
And you know what? You're making me appreciate very subtle things like in Superman 2, Christopher Reeves, where like he's like the people. And that was about as far as they went after that. He's like, you just saw, and again, great job by Christopher Reeves. Like you look in his face like, we can't fight here.
Right.
You know, I mean, so many layers on top. It wasn't just tactically this is a bad move because they're going to figure out. Because they did. Like he cares about the people. So they can do moves where he's going to be more distracted for it's already 3-on-1. So I'm going to get out of here knowing that there's going to be some imbeciles. Thank you, Bugs Bunny, who go like, why are you leaving us? No, you numbskull. I'm protecting you by leaving. I've done two F-bombs in the show.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's Superman is very sacred to me. So don't mess around.
I literally walked out of that and I said, I couldn't imagine how you felt. I was like, my guys are Hulk, Smash.
I'm the straight
you're
up
the
Spider-Man
true blue
Superman,
guy, right? You're Captain absolutely. America. You're Superman. You're that kind of guy. And it was like, oh man, this guy.
It didn't. I will say, it didn't hit me that hard walking out. But I don't want to go to this, but as a segue, kind of like Fantastic Four. The more time went on, the worse it got.
Yeah.
Not having seen Fantastic Four, obviously, but it just kept getting worse. Like. It really, it was a gymnast metaphorically stuck the landing when my friend said there was just nothing super about him. I just keep going over the movie, not consciously, like, what did he do that was great? I mean, again, I mentioned the Christopher Reeve character. He flew away to avoid the fight because people, you know,
yeah.
That was a super move.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the yeah, then, you know, then, again, this is a Warren thing. Well, it's a bad decision. It's like, yeah, filmmaking, storytelling, you take chances. You know, RA, it took a chance here and there, and it's a swing, a slam dunk touchdown. Yeah.
This place didn't have any hits.
But no, I'm saying when they did the back half of the parents video, where, oh,
why crap on his parents like that?
He was supposed to be the
That is more emo than anything else, or millennial, or whatever. Like the whole that, his parents are telling, his parents never spoke like that. You know, like,
no, the parents were like, I'm sending, I mean, again, mythology, the first one. I didn't realize it when I watched it when I was what, 7 or 10 or whatever. But when he, when Marlon Brando's and Donner's, Dick Donner says, like, no, that's not what I meant. You, that's absolutely what you freaking meant with the line, I send you my only son. How is that not biblical, mythological? Who right. sends their only son? Where have I heard somewhere in human history?
I don't know
history?
Where that's from.
But so there's nothing, there was zero mythology like that. And then to take his parents' eyes, to your point, that basically they're saying, you know, take over the area. And okay, part of me,
read all the women you can.
Yeah, I mean, with that one, yeah, maybe.
I mean, Elizabeth, I mean, you know, you got all the power.
Not a Superman. You could do another character, but not Superman.
Yeah, so, but it just was like, you know, yeah. And eliminate the ones that don't follow you.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm saying, they
why
took a chance.
Superman into a terrible person.
Well, his point was, you are your, the choices you make, and I see where he's going. He's trying to find that tone, but yeah, like I think you said it best there. Why'd you crap on his parents? You know, their story.
There was no reason for that.
I mean, there's a reason for it. I just don't agree with it. The reason is that they wanted to push that he is super because of his choices. That's what makes you a hero.
Well, I didn't get that.
And then it just it again. Much like it's not much like exactly like the flat tone lines on like between him and Lois and everybody else. He's you know, at the very end, like, I want to see the video of my parents, but it's his Kansas parents. Like, okay, that's okay.
I'm be honest with you. The only part of the movie that I kind of enjoyed Super and cool. that I chuckled at was the Peacemaker interview. Oh, the other heroes are just jealous of me because I'm so jacked.
I don't even remember what he said. See, the thing is, just his cameo appearance itself, I don't remember what he said. That was my delight. I'm like, that's a win. As soon as I saw him there, that was a win.
I saw Peacemaker, and I'm like, oh, yeah. That's the cameo I wanted. And right. he's like, they're, you know, they got all these powers. They've never been in this, and they've never done that. And, you know, and this, that, and the other thing. And then he's like, they're just jealous of me because I'm so jacked. And I'm like, that's the only time I chuckled through the whole movie.
I wanted to, and okay, this is going to be grumpy old middle-aged guys. What did they do with Jimmy Olsen? He's this sex symbol. How did he have access to Lex Luger's? Lex Luthor's like girlfriend. I mean,
they like dated in high school or something is what I took out of that.
But still, even though this guy doesn't emote sex, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, and never has. They invented that, which again, you took a gamble. But Jimmy Olsen is this. Yo, how does he score Bezos's wife, you know?
And okay, what was the point? I mean, since we're on the Daily Planet or whatever, what was the point of taking the spaceship or taking Mr. Fantastic, I mean, Mr. Terrible.
Terrible. That's Charles Barkley's superhero character, Mr. Terrible. I'll tell you right here what he had done. They had to get from one place to the other, I guess, you know, fast.
No, but I just mean like, why were they even there? They could have uploaded all that information from where they were.
Oh, good point.
Like, again, it wasn't just, like they landed and started interviewing or helping people. They just kind of floated there and watched.
This, I mean, overall, man, this movie was not terrible. Worthy. It was not worthy of the Superman moniker. Period.
I like
Supergirl because I loved her in the Dragon, you know, Game of Thrones. She's cute and she has that wispy fairy whatever.
Yeah,
vibe,
but she's like a party house drunk.
Yeah, and that Crypto's actually her dog, and
yeah. The dog was probably the best character. Like when they took the dog, I was like, yeah, go get him. But then like,
oh, but they did experiments. They freaking put neuro needles in his skull. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, not cool. Not cool. Not cool. Not cool.
They should let the dog get a little vengeance on that.
Yes. Yes. That. And, you know, at least, you know, Maybe take a forearm,
like a poop scene, right? Like pooping on like peanut.
No,
like,
I'm a little more mean. I want those super jaws in his forearm or something, or like a take his femur as a souvenir.
I thought like a super peepee.
So you're still being a little nice. Unless it's like acidy, then super acidy.
But just in general, I saw nothing about this movie that said I have hope for the DCU.
No. I'm in the reverse. I was like, I have no hope. I have negative hope. I have negative hope.
And they're like,
of course, Warren's going to like it, but yeah.
Warner Brothers or whoever it is that put it out, I think, had a statement like, we're so looking forward to this after this.
They got to say stuff. They got to say stuff.
It was like,
I don't mind that. I mean, they did that. Universal tried to do that with the whole monster series. And man, did that go like so reverse bad. You know, talking about Frankenstein and Mummy. And that was going to be their version. Answer to Warner Brothers and Disney's superheroes are going to bring out monster series.
And somewhere over at DC Warner Brothers, they have talent. Doom Patrol.
But that it seems like those are like under Peacemaker. The above. Those are below the line titles. You know, it's not the Wonder Woman Superman. It's like, Suicide.
Yeah, but the fact that I'm talking about, like, I'm saying things like, I like Peacemaker and Doom Patrol better than Superman right now.
Wow. And again, I was having a discussion with the young ladies at the store. I mean, I DC wise, I loved Wonder Woman, the first one. The first Aquaman, I enjoyed. Even the second one, I enjoyed. Not as much, but they can do it, I guess is where I'm going. Flash, that was a terrible, if you could put those two words, to horrible. So I just don't, I mean, between this and, I'm going to be sad, man, between this and Fantastic Four coming out very soon, this is going to be a 2025.
So is James Gunn's overseeing Fantastic Four?
No.
Because that's Marvel. All right, never mind.
I mean, there are rumors he might come back for another Guardians. But having said that, I don't know if you've seen a recent picture of Bautista. He's like one third the size he used to be.
Well, Bautista said he's never coming back.
That's the equivalent of killing off a superhero in comic books. Oh no, Nightcrawler's dead. Oh no, Superman's dead. You flash the money and a little pizzazz.
Well, he's been saying that for a while. He doesn't. He feels objectified because he feels like he's getting all these roles because he takes his shirt off and he says he's never going to do that again. Then takes like Knives Out role where he's like walking around shirtless the whole time.
Trust me. If James Gunn gets a spur in his boot and goes, you know what, I really have this one story I still want to tell for, and then Dave come back. There is no amount of time to measure how quickly will say yes. So don't even.
But I just, in general, I don't think I could have been more disappointed in this movie. And I kind of went in it. I went in it flat. I just went in like, let me see. You know, this is the guy, like you said many times, this is the guy who made me feel for an animated raccoon. A CGI raccoon.
Not to mention, what did you eat? Was that Suicide Squad we just watched, the animation? That was great. I mean, it wasn't super awesome, but it was great.
It was great.
It was just great. Frankenstein.
So I went in there like, I know it has bad reviews, but I'm going to give it a shot.
And, I went in pure. I didn't see any. My only thing going in there is I wish they had a different dog breed than the Caesar, little Caesar's dog as Crypto. That was it.
I mean, the only thing I knew is that I caught on a YouTube commercial, people talking about a clip from somebody about it being, a woke movie. And I didn't watch any of it. I just heard that.
I didn't get that.
Well, when it was written, and this, that, the other thing.
It was woke, period.
But I didn't, but like you said, I never viewed the Suicide Squad stuff or
Guardians. What?
Guardians as woke. So I thought,
he told a story. He told a damn good story with really fleshed out characters. Maybe he can't write characters who are just good. Like, again, this is Big Blue. He is the superhero. He is the one who is purely good, has all the powers, on and on and on. Opposed to, where we enjoy and say, all right, I'll bring it back, where everybody's a little bit flawed. Yeah. Superman and Captain America are not flawed. We don't need a brooding Superman. That's why it's a little bit obvious from our conversation here that I would even give Schneider's Superman, Henry Cavill, an up on this current Superman. I think that, and I didn't really enjoy that a whole lot, but Henry Cavill Superman is easily better.
Yeah. Like,
Because it's one thing when you have Superman going back into the diner, and then the big bully a-hole is in there, and he pushes him down the, you know, down the diner table.
Yeah, that's
a little bit of revenge, and he's like, you know, pushes the glasses. He's still kind of nerdy. He does a little two pumps, like I've been lifting weights, whatever. Okay, a little corny, but fun. The Henry Cavill character, the one he turned his truck cab inside out because that's petty. First, the whole deal. Superman has so much power. That's not worth his time. That is super petty. I mean, again, you can go all mythological. My martial arts background. Yeah. There's the swordsman in Japan. He was so good that these two punks came up and wanted to fight him. He sized him up. He's like, if you want to get into town, you're gonna have to crawl on your hands and knees to get past us. He valued the art, and he was so good at a sword fighting play that he would not compromise his art. That's the extreme. I know it's an abstract, but yeah, he walked on all fours to get past the two dum-dums.
Yeah, I just.
This is not Superman. This was not Superman.
No, it wasn't.
It was a guy with powers. Yeah,
it wasn't good.
Did you watch for the final credits too? Mr. Terrific. There were a couple. There was kind of.
I Googled on my phone and it didn't say anything about final credits, so I walked out.
The final post-credit scene was him and Mr. Terrific. They're back in Metropolis, and they had put some of the buildings together, and one of the buildings was off by like 4 inches. And Mr. Terrific is the one who tried to realign all and Superman was giving him poop going, period. That was it.
Yeah. What to do?
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. We'll be back next week. We'll have Resident Alien. We'll have the first episode of the new season of.
And unfortunately, we may have Warren back too. So
maybe not. I mean, there's always hope.
Is he still alive? Is he still vacationing from retirement?
I don't know. The sun wants its brightness back. We'll be back next week.
Peace.